What's up, everybody? DJ here from Move the Sticks. Along with Bucky Brooks, our podcast, we look at the NFL through a player personnel perspective, looking at teams, looking at matchups, looking at the NFL draft. You can catch us on Move the Sticks, NFL.com/podcast, as well as iTunes.
What's going down? I'm Real Mike Robb, and you're listening to the R&B Podcast. Drop that beat. It never gets old. Nice. Never, ever gets old. I'm Real Mike Robb. Nate Burleson, the B to R&B is out this week, and I'm holding it down with a special Seahawk. People don't know this guy in the mainstream too much, but I'm going to give him his just due. He gets our videos for the big team meeting rooms that have us laughing all through the day and break the monotony of camp and work. The premier tackling guru in all of America. Yes, all of America. Rocky Seto, coach, what's going down?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, so good to have you in studio. Talk about why you're back out here. You're having a little event coming up. Yep. Talk about why you're out here.
Well, first of all, I'm from L.A., Southern California. I love L.A., and we're visiting family. And look what God's opened up. We have a tackling clinic here in Inglewood High School.
Tackling clinic, Inglewood.
Shoulder tackling. And what is this thing that's called? I think this is the biggest thing that Coach Carroll is going to be part of in his coaching career in regards to the game of football.
Yeah, tackling, man. Go into that a little bit, because I get questions. I run a spring football league in Richmond, Virginia, man, and I hear parents all the time, Mike, what's up with these concussions? How does my kid not get the concussions? You know, I have my entire league doing manual neck exercises just to help with the actual, you know, impact with the ground. But talk about the shoulder tackling and the rugby influence and all of those things. Talk about how you guys kind of developed this hawk tackling.
Yeah, it's been incredible. The Lord allowed us to develop this technique. And ever since 2012, okay, we got there in 2010 and 11. In 2012, we started teaching this tackling principle based on leverage hitting with our shoulders. So we're a shoulder tackling team based on leverage. What happened was, like, I was – you know, this is what happened. Like, on 2012, the spring, we had a guy from England there, a guy named Kit Lawson.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a football coach, American football, not soccer, American football coach in England for Birmingham University.
Did they come and visit us?
Yeah.
I think you were there.
And I was up in my office, and I was showing this young guy. He was younger than me, and I was showing him, this is how we teach tackling. And all he said was this: oh, Rocky, all that is a shoulder tackle. Right there. I mean, a shoulder tackle that rugby guys do. And from right there, it was like, boom. The Lord popped into mind, teach our tackling system, showing rugby guys hitting each other, tough and physical, and then getting off the ground. The head's not involved, and it's all loading up the shoulder and the chest. And really, it's been incredible. We have numbers that shown that I think it helped the health of our defensive players, where concussions have dropped drastically since 2012.
Really?
Yes, totally.
Just with the emphasis on shoulder tackling, we call it hawk tackling.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what the mainstream has grabbed onto, hawk tackling. But hawk tackling is more like I tackle the guys at the thigh level. But essentially, when you put the whole package together, it's a shoulder tackling system where we're hitting guys with our shoulders. So if I'm coming at you, Mike, mm-hmm. and you're a great tackler too, by the way, you dominated for us teams, right?
Thank you, brother.
So I'm coming from you. If I'm coming from this side of you, I'm already knowing I'm going to maintain my leverage and hit you with this shoulder.
Okay.
And then by doing that, the old school, man, for the last 40 years or so, I think I might have a theory on this. Ever since they screw the face mask on, guys have been taught to see with the hit, get your head across. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was taught. And
I was taught go heads up with them.
Totally.
I mean, seriously.
Lay the hat, right? Yeah, we heard all that stuff back in the day.
We had this drill called Bull in the Ring, man. You literally stand in the ring, and they would call out a number. You had to find them, and you go head up. And like it's like my Pop Warner coach at the time. I mean, he didn't know. He was just a, you know, just part of the culture.
Sure.
And it's like if he didn't hear that crack. If he didn't hear that crack of the helmet, yeah.
Totally. We know that sound.
Yeah, yeah, it's like it was doing it wrong. How do you implement this on a large scale to be able to really teach a Little League? Because it has to start there. It has to start in Little League. It has to start where parents can actually see a difference in their kids' tackling.
So we've been doing these clinics throughout the West Coast and Washington to California we invite high school and youth coaches, but not just them, but we need the parents, the dads and moms to be there so they have confidence knowing that their coaches are teaching this principle where the helmet is there for protection. So just like we get in the car, we put a seatbelt on, we're not trying to get in the car wrecks. If you get in an accident, then the seatbelt airbags are there to protect us. The helmet's there just in case if our head does get in there, then the kids, the players are fine. So the point is we're loading up the shoulders and the chest. Okay, and basically that's what we teach, whether I hit you at the profile level at the near pec or at the hock level at the thighs. And that's what we taught. And here's this. The question that I get asked, how do you teach this to NFL football players? Okay, guys who've been balling and dominating to get to that level. How do you get someone like that who really is at the premier level of their game to change their style all of a sudden? And I think there's two ways. Like, A, it's healthier, okay? And guys may not care about that 2 years later, but they will care someday. And B, it's helped our players play better.
Yeah.
You know, you did it. If it doesn't help you play better.
Guys won't do it.
Yeah, they're not.
Guys won't do it.
They'll say, thank you for the sentiment, coach, but I appreciate that you care, but we got to perform.
Well, what I appreciate about it is because we did those drills and special teams drills, you know, getting ball leverage and still, you know, going moving toward the tackle as you're making your tackle. What I like about it is it gave you a baseline.
Totally.
To think about as you're running downfield on special teams. It gave me something to say, okay, I got to make sure I keep this guy here. And then your instincts start to take in after
that.
Yes. You know what I mean? With the step punch. And I firmly believe once I learned that principle of literally step punching, hitting on the rise, keeping 12 cleats in the ground when you make contact, I didn't have another concussion.
Thank God. That's awesome.
You know, I didn't have another concussion. And that was to your teaching, to Sam and those guys at Seattle, kind of, you
Brian
know, monitoring.
Brian Schneider, your coach.
Yeah, Coach Schneider, you know, the special teams coach with the teaching. Could you tell us some information where people can find out more about this camp? Is it a website?
We actually have a website about we have our teach tapes and instructional stuff. It's
www.shouldertackling.com. www.shouldertackling.com.
Just shouldertackling.com. And really it allows, like you said, to have a tackling plan. So you have confidence and there's a method to it. And we're going to have the clinic this Saturday. Okay. This Saturday, July 9th at Inglewood High School in their auditorium. It's free. We've invited anyone who's interested.
Hold up. Did you say free?
Free.
Free. It's something free. Going on talking about National Football League and tackling, and it's free, people. Free.
Free.
That's awesome, man.
We want parents to come. We want players to come. We want the coaches to come. We're going to have representatives from the Rams.
Okay.
Your L.A. Rams. The Oakland Raiders, Coach Ken Norton's going to be there.
Okay.
And I think Bobby Wagner is going to show up.
Bobby's in town?
Bobby Wagner from Ontario, from Southern California.
I got to call him. Because how's Bobby going to be in town? He knows I work every Monday and Tuesday, and he didn't hit me up.
I don't know when he's going to get here. I don't want to put him out there. I don't know when he's going
to get. I was about to say Rocco.
Maybe he'll get there that morning on Saturday. I don't know, but he'll be. He said he plans to be there. So we're really trying to help the game of football, you know. And in football, in particular in the inner city, where football is important to many people through tradition, through opportunities that the game creates. So we're really, if the guys are going to play football in the inner city, we want to be able to equip the coaches and the parents and the players to do it safe as possible. Of course, no tackling technique could eliminate injury. It's still sport. It's still football. But we like to think it minimizes the chance and at the same time makes people better football players. And I got something for you, Mike. We have a theory. Mm-hmm. Remember how I talked about the last 40 years or so that guys have been taught to hit with the head
or
the face masks? I think we didn't really invent anything. I think the good Lord allowed us to just open our eyes to take it back to the old school principles of how the game was played. Rugby was from – our game was birthed out of the game of rugby, okay? And then talking to – like I have a friend named John MacArthur who's like in his 80s.
Okay.
I said, John, how did they teach you how to tackle? Because in his senior year of high school, they said they put the single bar face mask. So he played in the era before the face mask was put on.
Did they get a lot of broken noses?
So I asked him that. I know. He's a pretty decent looking dude for, you know, I don't know how much damage he had to his face. But he said, Rocky, it was all shoulder tackling. It was all hitting with the shoulder. And we didn't put the head. So somewhere along the line, as technology got better and the face mask got better, is like, dude, this is a pretty good thing to hit with, and let's go with it. So I think it's taking it back to the old schools. I've even talked to Dick Buckus.
Yeah, yeah. I talked to Pete about that. Pete said he had a conversation with Dick.
So we talked to him, and he goes, Rocky, and he sounds just like how you would have Dick Buckus, the iconic Dick Buckus. He says, I hit with him in my shoulders and my body. And I said, "What? Okay, Mr. Buckus, are you telling me you didn't try to hit him? No, I just had to hit him in my body. Talking to Mike Haynes, the Hall of Fame cornerback for Raiders. Have him taped up, and he said, yeah, all of it, we were taught to shoulder tackle. So somewhere along the line, things got a little off track, and I think we're just serving the football community by just bringing it back to the old school, the fundamental way of playing football. It's the greatest game in the universe.
And I tell young people all the time, especially parents, you want to see it done right, watch Cam Chancellor. You guys will probably, you know, Cam will go down at when his all said and done as one of the best tacklers we've seen. And he gets penalties, not because I think the helmet was involved.
No.
It's the just it looks violent.
He's just awesome at it.
He's so explosive in his hips. And talking about the Seahawks, obviously you guys are in the hunt every single year. For you personally, being from L.A., how is the addition of the Los Angeles Rams moving back here to LA? How did that affect you personally? Because you know you're from here.
Oh, dude,
you compete against them. You know what I mean? How did that affect?
Well,
you?
Well, I mean, I grew up an LA Ram fan. I remember watching Kevin Green and Jim Everett and those dudes. And not only that, they're playing at the LA Coliseum. I'm a Trojan, man. I played at USC and coached there. I never thought I'd get to play another game there. So on a nostalgic personal level, I mean, I grew up like 20 minutes east of the Coliseum. So to be able to play another game, it's special. All my friends and family are down here, and I think I'm going to use up all my tickets
now. You got to get all the tickets for that game.
Totally, man.
Talk about the NFC West, man. It's going to be a tough year, man. I mean, every team – is right there, seems to be right on the cusp. Obviously, you guys plan on winning it. You know, that's the goal every year. Talk about the other three teams in that division and how tough it's going to be for you guys to actually have to match up against them. Because people talk about San Francisco.
Yes.
I look at the Arizona Cardinals as you guys, I mean, and Seattle Seahawks as probably the biggest rivalry right now in that division.
Oh, it's tough. I mean, from Arizona Cardinals, you know how good they did last year. You know?
Yeah.
They're incredible. They got their defense and Carson throwing the ball, who's a Trojan too. So,
I mean, no, right?
They're good, man. And then the Rams, that defense that they have, and they beat us twice last year.
I hated playing the Rams.
Oh, they're tough.
I mean, their defense, that front seven, they were pesky. I mean, they know on special teams, it's like they knew what buttons to push.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hated that.
They're tough, man. And then the Niners, of course, there's a incredibly tough game with the new coach, with the new system. Man, I think they got a chance to get better, and they're going to be competitive. So every year, we just, you know how it is, Mike. You heard Coach Carroll 100,000 times about, let's see how good we could be, and just keep the focus on us. And hopefully we like the results at the end of the year, you know. So God willing, we're just able to just maximize the Seahawks and see how far we could take it.
Rock, I was there. I wasn't there when you guys first walked in the building in 2010, but I got there the first week of the first game. And
thank God. It was incredible.
Awesome. Thank you guys, man. You guys gave me another start, because you never know in free agency if grass is greener on the other side, and the grass was definitely greener for me. A lot of the core players that you have right now, with the exception of your quarterback and things like that, came on that team in 2010, 2011. You talk about Cam and Earl and those guys. Mm-hmm. Now they're paid. Talk about, first of all, the type of player that they had to have been for you guys to, you know, for those guys to be as grounded as they are now after they've gotten the money.
Yeah.
And is it different coaching those guys?
You know, people have asked them, what's the difference in coaching at USC compared to the NFL? Distractions. Mm. you know, yeah. It's like the, and I think we went through a season last year and maybe half the season last year. You remember the last 2 years, we started off pretty slow.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden and things got tightened up and we were able to get going a little bit. I think guys are ready to like see how far we could take it. I think there's a more meaningful thing being able to go as far as a football team, you know, and I think guys are really focused. I think this is the most focus I've seen our guys on, maximizing Seahawks as we've seen in a few years. I'm pretty excited and I like our chances to see if it could be a pretty good team this year.
Yeah, that's a political answer. I get it, Rocky. I get it. You got to say the political answer. I know you know what y'all can do over there, man.
A chance. That's all you gotta ask coach, all you want is a chance, you know?
I know that's right, man. I know that's right. Staying with the Seahawks. Is it going to be different not seeing 2-4, not seeing Beast Mode walk down those halls? You know how he slow walk, you know, everybody getting out of his way. It's going to be different not seeing him walk down those hallways.
Yeah, we're going to miss him. You know, I admire him, how he played. It was incredible. I mean, you know, you blocked for him, you played with him. That guy is a special football player on game days. He's ridiculous, you know. And so we'll miss him, but Thomas Rawls and Christian Michael, we drafted Ballin. Three rookies. So competition's on, man. And
yeah.
I like our chances. In some ways, I feel like our team will galvanize with each other and to come together to make to hold up the parts together. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen next.
How hungry is this team, man? Because you guys have had a lot of success over the last few years, man.
Yeah.
I was just up there for OTAs a little bit.
Yeah.
And it seemed like a renewed sense of urgency.
Yeah, totally.
Like, totally. We didn't win a Super Bowl last year. You know what I mean? We got beat up. Talk about how hungry you guys are.
I think we're hungry, man. I think what you sense is right on. That's what I mean by, like, the focus of the guys. The distractions out the door. And, yeah. Like, let's go. I think it's the emphasis. I think guys are looking at this vacation time as a time to reload and to see how far we can get. And, you know, the one thing that I want to just share with you, what's been going on with our team is, like, you came in and you gave an incredible talk to the team about what is going to be meaningful beyond the game of football.
Yeah.
And that's been something that's heavy on Coach Carroll's heart, and he's been talking about more meaningful things, deeper things that are parlay or carry guys past the game of football. And I think guys are getting to a deeper level of maturity on our football team. Like you said, 2010, 2011. Some guys have been with us for 7 football
seasons. That's
crazy,
man.
That's like almost 2 college careers
yeah.
already, right?
That's crazy. And you rarely see those types of things. In the National Football League with all the money flying around with people wanting to get paid and things like that. But that's attributed to how you guys draft. I mean, you don't see many free agents come in there. And I mean, you see some come in and make a splash. But for the most part, man, you guys are homegrown. Even from a coach standpoint, you have any aspirations to be a head coach, Rob?
You know, God willing, I would love to. I would love to have that chance. And I'm happy with doing what I'm doing, learning from the best.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some heroes over the years of like I love setting up on guys like John Wooden, who's a UCLA guy, although I'm a Trojan, you know.
And, you can learn from anybody.
Yeah, yeah, but learning from and Coach Carroll, I mean, I think he's the best coach in the game of football. And whether it's college or pro, he knows how to do it, you know, and I'm learning. Just like, you know, I remember you as a player. I remember you just trying to learn, what if I become a coach someday? Yeah. You had a great coach, Sherman Smith, and Coach Carroll. We're just trying to keep learning, you know, and see what could happen next.
What's, in your opinion, what's the best thing about Coach Carroll? I know for me, I answer this question all the time. It's his energy. I just – people don't realize how the energy of your leader when he walks into the building, if it's up, I mean, it kind of just naturally makes your energy level go up. If he's in an urgent state, then your urgency goes up. And that's what I love about Pete. Talk about, you know, what you think is the most important aspect or thing about Pete Carroll.
Okay, I think one of the biggest gifts I've been – so this year I'm going to be with him for 16 years. 16 years, man. What? I met him when he was in his 40s, and now he's in his 60s. Dude, I'm 40 now. You know, so it's like things have changed, man. And,
yeah.
I'd say one of the biggest things about him is that he challenges us to discover who we are. And he knows who he is. He would say, I'm a competitor. That's, he knows who he is. So how's that helped me? He's influenced me to discover what is most important to me. I'm a Christian. Jesus is most important to me. My wife, Charlotte, and my four children, and then the game of football in that order. So he's really helped me to discover what's most important to me and to live it. And I think what you touched upon with the players, you just barely brushed upon it, but hopefully it caused guys to start thinking, okay, who are they? Like, football may describe you, but doesn't define you. Mm-hmm. So I used to be an NFL football, or I'm an NFL football player currently. That may describe what you do, who you are, but who ultimately are you is the deeper meaning that we're trying to help our Seahawks and coaches to discover. And I appreciate what you, how you went there with that.
Oh,
with
man.
Us, man. That was huge. Especially hearing from another guy who's really crossed over the line now from playing to retirement. It's going to happen to all of us someday, you know?
And that's how I started it. I mean, it's going to happen to all of us. And Pete and I talked about it earlier that day, purpose. You know, so often, you know, and purpose has been football since I was 5 years old, man.
Totally.
And I always talk about parallels. I talk to kids in my foundation about running parallels. You can chase your dream at the same time while, you know, developing another love, developing another purpose or why you get up in the morning. And obviously, Christ has been huge in your life.
Yes.
Talk about how your spirit and your religion has kind of guided your life thus far, man.
Mike, I'm telling you, just like we talked about, even as a boy, like, football was my identity. And my pinnacle was not the NFL. My pinnacle was, if I could only play at USC.
Dude,
I walked on as a junior. Cause I had to go to junior college because I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And then I walked on and begged to get on. And then my senior, my next year, they gave me a scholarship. I'm, man, this is the greatest thing in the world. But I had people talking to me about Christ, the gospel, and it changed my life, where that side of football is like a big part of me, but it doesn't define who I am. And Jesus dying on the cross, rising up 3 days later, this defines exactly who I am. And so how does that actually influence my coaching and my parenting and my parent and being a husband? You know, my goal, number one goal, is to have Charlotte love Jesus more. My number one goal for my children is to teach them to love Jesus. My number one goal in football is to help guys be as good as they could become, so that you develop relationships that, man, this guy actually cares about me.
Yeah.
And so when deeper, more meaningful things come up, then I'm able to speak the truth to them, you know, and essentially it guides in everything that I do. So even the shoulder thing, shoulder tackling, you know, people say, well, it's just tackling. Well, if this could help people to be safer and help me, really help the game of football thrive beyond our generations, what a great thing to be a part of.
Well, that's awesome, Rock. Man, I want to thank you for coming in today, man. I mean, really, man, it's good seeing you. Always good to see a friend. And what you guys are doing for the game of football, because you hear so much negativity about our game, about the concussions, about, you know, you see the decline in Pop Warner and things like that. And I tell people all the time, the game of football, it should be called CEOs in Training.
Yeah,
because if we could really take all the skills that we learn, the being on time, the discipline, the route recognition, I mean, all the things that make us great athletes. Sure, if we can take that and translate that into real life skills, all you do is taking X's and O's and making it another concept. You'd be successful in almost everything you do,
man. Look what you've done here. You know,
I'm trying, man.
That's an example. And look what you're doing with your community back east in Virginia. You know what I mean? And so we're hoping to raise up leaders. And the game has enough adversity, enough good stuff, and enough support as a team that you learn these skills, you know. And the game football is the greatest game. We have to do what we can to protect and strengthen it, you know. And what a privilege it is to be part of this.
Dope, man, dope.
Dude, can I plug the clinic one last time?
Do it, man. Do your thing, bro.
It's at Inglewood High School
there
this
you go.
Saturday,
show up.
July 9th, from 10 to 12. It'll be in the auditorium. Like we said, we'll have representatives from the Rams who are adopting our style, the Raiders who Ken brought to the Raiders, Ken Norton, and then we'll have Seahawk, me, and maybe another coach, and maybe Bobby. I think Bobby Wagner is going to be there. So come on out, man. It's free.
And
hopefully,
free.
hopefully, you guys, the network could, I don't know, maybe even make a segment out of it. You got nothing else to air. After the 100, what else are you going to talk about? So we could talk about tackling and use this platform to educate the world of football, man.
All right. Well, you know what? Before I let you go, you mentioned it before the top 100.
I'm just going to.
I know. Okay. What's your top 10 players?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I put you on the spot.
I think they're all Seahawks, though.
Oh, come on, Rock. You
I
see some
know,
great
man.
Players in this league.
There are.
You watch film.
There
you
are,
see some great
I do,
players
I
in
do.
This league.
So
you don't have 10 players that you could name off?
I'm at a blank right now. You caught me. I wasn't prepared for that one. Although I went through your studio and I tried to look for the 10. They don't even have the 10.
Yeah,
so
no.
Like, oh, man.
We don't have it yet. We don't have it. I gave my 10 yesterday. And, you know, I had some receivers, you know, 10, 8, 9. I mean, 10, 9, 8. And then, you know, you go into, you know, Luke Kuechly and Adrian Peterson and those guys. But Tom Brady, man, it's tough to not – 4 Super Bowl championships. I mean, he's over 40 almost, man, and still doing it at a high level. You got to put him up there. But, man, I'm going to let you go. That's it for this week's Seahawks special episode of the R&B Podcast. Thanks, Coach Seto, for joining us. And Sully, for filling in behind the glass for producer TD. We'll be back next week with Nate B. And producer TD, remember to subscribe on iTunes. Comment, retweet, spread the word. It's R&B Podcast. Hashtag R&B Podcast. We out of here.
Your own theme song.
Of course, man. That's how we do it, right?